Hello and welcome to this Lush podcast on activism in existence, the series that seeks to uncover the individual's story and their experiences of being an activist, how they've changed the world and how activism has changed them. The series will showcase the diversity of individuals and their approach within activism and what it means to be a glitch in the system. In this episode, we spoke with relentless environmental rights activist Phoenix, whose campaigning history spans the anti-road protest, Reclaim the Streets, Occupy, and more recently, the Resistance exhibition. Phoenix, what is your story?
What started me on my journey was I got kind of homeless at 18, 19. I kind of squatted different buildings to live for the next 5 years, a survival type thing. It's a shelter to get you off the streets and stuff. And after about 5 years, having visited a few other projects around London that were doing stuff in their squats, I realised that you can set up like environmental community centres and projects in them. So for the next kind of 20 years, we squatted different buildings and set up rainbow centres, eco community centres where all sorts of people came together and shared skills and put on events and parties and meetings and planned for actions and painted banners and brought together kind of theatre and circus shows about the environment. And it's kind of been a non-stop story of spaces that we've opened up for many groups to get together over the years. And, you know, I'm kind of a gatekeeper of environmental centres. I kind of welcome people in and get them involved and help people to network together. The environment. I'm a networker is one of my main titles, I suppose, although I've got quite a few hats and quite a few titles. You know, it's been a non-stop story, really, of helping the environment, getting people together and getting them into the protests and into the long-term solutions as well, what we can actually do to help the environment. And all of these groups that have come together through our centres over the years have been working to stop the destruction on one hand and protest against things, but they've also been working on the longer term solutions and the things that are going to help the environment as well, and that's part of what we want to bring out. So it's been a long story through lots of different buildings that we've squatted, not just buildings, we set up eco-villages and occupy bits of land, and been involved with many different movements. And this resistance exhibition we put together tells a bit of the story of the, you know, I've got a personal story, but there's a wider movement story. And I've taken action every day for the last 25 plus years. Main thing really would be creating rainbow centres, community centres, environment action centres, a space for people and movement to gather. I see an empty building that we squat as a blank canvas. You'll get into a place that's got 5 rooms or 50 rooms, and then over the next 3 months, 6 months, a year and a half, however long you've got it, you'll have a cafe, which hundreds of people will come in and eat, drink, meet, have conversations, sometimes get together and, you know, next generation is born because of the conversations they've had and the people they've met. Put on lots of parties and events, raising awareness and theatrical circus, cabaret stuff, whatever it is. And I think that the major contribution I've made is creating those spaces for many, many, many years. I'm a kind of opener of ways and opener of gateways where people can meet. They've made it much harder for squatting in the last 5 and 10 years with the law changing. So much change has happened because of these centres, because people have come into a party, an event, a meeting, an action, they've come and painted a banner, they've got together and they've had a conversation that's led to change of them taking action or them setting up a bike repair business or a computer thing or whatever it is. And I'm a change maker, I suppose, and these places have created social change and supported and accelerated that movement, those waves of movements. It's critical that we have these spaces. We've set up a new charity called spacegenerators.org, gone legal a bit in the last 2 or 3 years, to ask empty building owners if they've got an empty building, can you let us use it before you develop it for 6 months, 1, 2, 3 years, and we'll fill it with art, community events, all sorts of projects. People are crying out for space. And I still squat buildings, I still help lots of young squat crews open places up or deal with various things or advise them and stuff. But if anyone's seen an empty building out there, email us at info@spacegenerators.org. And the ultimate vision is we would like to see empty buildings in every high street and every city across the UK and even across the world being used as environment community centres, because that will then accelerate the change.
What is your idea of activism?
What is my idea of activism? Well, it's a many coloured thing of many different activities. What is my idea of activism? Is do what you can where you can. Be active every day. It's many different things. It depends on each person's energy levels and commitment and input and what they can do. Activism can be, you know, baking some cakes and bringing some tea down to a frontline protest, or as a road protest or anti-fracking protest. Activism can be getting out there and putting your body on the line to actually, you know, stop diggers and things that are destroying the earth and the environment and climbing up in treehouses and things. But In the 90s, there was a term came out called eco-warriors, and it got very big in the media around Swampy and the road protests and this and the other. But my friend Susanna, who we call like tribal grandmother, she used to come to all the road protests with her kids and that, and she said eco-warriors is a bit of a misleading term because all the media bigs it up, and it makes people sound like these eco-warriors turned up and they helped our local protest, and it made it sound like it was something that you had to be a warrior and full-on and da-da-da and whatever. But actually, you know, it was every kind of aspect and every age and culture of people that came, from grannies who came and bought tea and cake, and to, you know, to students, to housewives, to people who had a few spares hours from work, to people who were unemployed and had loads of their time to do and were more full-time activists and stuff. But, you know, you can be an activist just by getting a leaflet about fracking, about more civil rights, human rights, animal rights, and just go and talk to people in the street. I always had big pockets on my combat trousers and would always give out leaflets wherever you go about whatever the latest, you know, cause was to raise awareness. You know, it really is critical state where, like Stephen Hawking, bless him, he just passed on, said that we are absolutely at a tipping point for the environment, and we really need everyone to actually think of themselves as active to create a better future. So my idea of activism is that everyone can be involved, anyone can do something, even if it's a small action. All of these small actions add up to a river of actions, and if it's just pick up a leaflet about a good cause or raising awareness about the environment or human rights, animal rights, whatever, and just give that leaflet out to people. That's your basic level of activism, right up to digging tunnels, climbing in trees, jumping on bulldozers. But it doesn't have to be that full on. It can be something you can do in your everyday life just by speaking to people. And that conversation can change people's lives and help create change.
What does it mean to be an individual as an activist?
Well, that's a funny one for me because, well, obviously I am an individual, but I'm very tribal and I'm very into community, and I've run years of community centres. A lot of my life I lived with 20, 30 people on community centres and traveller sites and whatever it was. So people do what they can in activism, and an individual, it can be inspiring, it can be draining, it can take you on an amazing adventure, it can bring you new friends. You've got to be careful with it because you do too much activism as an individual, and it can make you very tired, and people put loads of energy into the cause and spend too many days a week on that cause, camped out on that site or doing a campaign or whatever, and it can burn people out. And there's a lot more been learned in the movement in recent years about individual self-care, looking after yourself, taking time off the campaign, thinking about your physical, mental well-being, looking at your finances, you don't put any money into the cause and end up skint and whatever. It can be a very empowering thing to be an activist. And you learn to question authority and to take action in a lot of situations that some people wouldn't necessarily do because they just have been trained to accept authority and whatever it is. It's great fun. It's one of the best adventures you'll ever have in your life. I mean, I'm a bit of an adrenaline addict. I love action and adventures. My dad was in the Marines, so I've got that built into me kind of thing. There's an incredible sense of community in activism, and people do support each other and come together and live together in some situations or meet regularly together. And from the individual, you become part of a wider small family or tribe or group or campaign or movement. And you meet certain times of the year when you do actions and big demos and whatever it is. And there's an incredible, like I say, sense of family and community. And you meet up people over the months and the years that you met again and again and again over these protests. And you have a great laugh and you enjoy yourself. But you do, as an individual, have to take stock and beware of how much energy you put in. I'm quite a relentless activist. I've been doing a lot of things for years. I do have times of doing more and less. But we've, like I say, we've learned a lot more about avoiding burnout and self-care. And you need to look at that and look after yourself individually. You need to really see what it is you're doing and try and be sustainable in your activism, you know. It's about being an individual, but part of a group and a family and a wider tribe.
Who or what has influenced you and given you strength in your activism?
Well, I'll deal with what first. The beginning was Twyford Down Road protest. It gave me a massive amount of energy that kind of continued me on doing what I've been doing for the last 20 years. I was squatting in Camden somewhere and read about this Beltane Free Festival at Twyford Down. It was kind of the earliest road protest out in this country. And, you know, some of us went down and there was an incredible gathering there with like 300-400 people singing and dancing around a fire under the stars and singing songs and getting together. And then there was at one point a big meeting with people splitting into different affinity groups and explaining what direct action was and what people were going to do. And then big actions where people would go and run down and jump on the diggers that were destroying this very beautiful ancient site at Twyford Down. And the magic and the energy and the community and the tribal feelings at that time really propelled us on for the next 10 years into the road protests, and they spread. And that really was a massive influence on my life. I never really looked back from Twyford Down. It was just one protest after another. It was so much fun, and it was so much energy, enthusiasm, that it just carried on, and that influence from Twyford carried on a long time and still is with me now. Coming back to who has influenced and given you strength in your activism. Difficult one, because you don't always big up four people, but I suppose the earliest one was Starhawk, which is an American kind of witchy magic activist sister who wrote a lot of books all about magic, sex and politics and community organising. It was women's protests in America against nuclear power and how they spoke truth to power and pushed back against the oppression of, you know, the patriarchal war machine or whatever it was. And she told us about talking circles and facilitators and coordinators, and I tried to put that into our community centres. So I was an early proponent of trying to consensus decision making going in our community centres and having circles and circular organising. And people would say, well, why are we going on about consensus? Why can't we just vote on it? You know, and Starhawk would say that when you vote on it, the majority decision oppresses the rights of the minority. The consensus you have to talk about longer, but in that longer process, the way the Native Americans used to do it, it may take more hours or days to come to a decision, but it's a better decision because everyone's agreed on it and it was willing to move forward without a minority being disgruntled. I mean, there's individuals within kind of protest groups and like the Dongas tribe that I thought were pretty amazing people. Lots of individuals who are just great people who struggle and strive for change. Tony Benn, he came over when we occupied Parliament Square and gave a speech. He actually came to court for us and he said, what these people are doing now, occupying Parliament Square against these, what we called illegal wars, and there are illegal wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. This is the politics of the future. This is the politics of the street and the politics of the future rather than the politics in Parliament. And he was very prophetic in a way, because 2 or 3 years later, Occupy came along and suddenly you had 900 cities all over the world occupying streets and squares and having direct democracy discussions and talking about system change and the way they wanted the world to be. As well, I should mention, you know, Reclaim the Streets was very influential. You know, just a group of people and mates who got together and from the road protest started occupying streets to create street parties, but that then evolved on into the bigger movement where we'd start having general assemblies and discussions because we were very unhappy with the way the system was and how it was running and stuff. You know, there are so many inspiring people, you know, Nelson Mandela, Gandhi. A guy called Simon Moore, who was very on the Gandhian school, he helped set up an eco village at Cowbridge, eco village, and then that moved to kind of Parliament Square, a lot of people did. And he was very much on the kind of Gandhian school of direct action. And when the police would arrest him, he would talk at them for hours all about, you know, you're working for a corrupt system that's got illegal wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're arresting people and taking them without trial and holding them and torturing them. And is that what you signed up to be a policeman to do? Really get inside their heads and kind of, you know, a policeman a month or two later saying, oh yeah, well, we like Simon, we agree with Simon and all this, you know, and showing people, you know, there's many individual activists, too many to mention really, that are incredible people, very, very brave people who are willing to time and again get themselves arrested and go through the court system and risk their liberty and risk their future careers if they've got one or whatever. Those are the brave people, the many unnamed people that you meet on these camps. The nanas, let's say, the anti-fracking nanas, inspiring. You know, they're all grandmas, mostly women nanas, but there's a few honorary men nanas. Incredible people. They're all in their later, whatever it is, years, and they're out there on the front lines day in, day out, bitterly cold, in the snow, whatever, and they're there just witnessing the destruction of the fracking, sometimes jumping in front of trucks, getting on top of trucks, making tea, helping people out, wise words, whatever, absolute troopers, legends, big up the nanas. You know, maximum respect to all the unsung heroes of the evolution, the revolution, all the defenders of the earth.
What has activism done to change you?
What has activism done to change me? Probably mutated me quite a lot. I mean, I could have done an office job between 18 and 19, I think I remember taking me into this room at 18 and said, like 100 desks, rows of 10 by 10. I said, this could be your desk in the middle here. And it was like 105 quid a week. And I was just like, is this what I want to do for the next 10 years? Sit in a desk in the middle of a massive factory office type thing. And then I got homeless, got squatting, got into activism through Twyford Down. And yeah, it changed me in massive ways. I became a much more free-thinking person, much more liberated, went off on all these incredible adventures. I never had much money, but I reclaimed my time. I had time to help activism, time to read books, think what I wanted to think, do what I wanted to do. So I became, you know, money poor but time rich, I suppose. And it changed me. It made me think massively more about the world, the environment, culture, the spirit, lots of things. You know, activism, you read so much and people tell you around the fire and the community centre and whatever about all this full-on stuff going on. And sometimes it could get you down because you hear terrible human rights abuses, animal rights abuses and environmental abuses, things that are going on. And it does warp you and change you a bit. And you think, you know, you've got to create more change and take more action and do things. And you need to constantly keep, you know, lifting your spirit up to take action, because when you actually look at it and see what we're doing to the earth, to the environment, to the animals, to human rights, to democratic rights around the world, it is absolutely terrible. So it does change you hearing all that information, but it gives you hope when you take action. It definitely changed me over the years. You know, I'm not the same person as I was if I got an office job then at 18. I'm a much more creative person, happy person, freer person. I've had some of the most incredible adventures, festivals, parties, projects. I would never have had all those adventures if I just carried on with that office job. I think there's something in the Celestine prophecy that talks about restlessness. If you're restless in what you're doing now, there is something else that you need to be doing in your life. And I kind of found it in activism and setting up environment community centres. And I love what I do. I'm passionate about helping the environment, helping the community. And it's definitely changed me into a much more colourful, creative, happy, active person who's had a lot of adventures. So activism does change you. And change is eternal. Change is a very good thing. And we need change. We need system change, not climate change. We need to constantly keep changing ourselves to evolve into a better person and a better community and a better planet.
What do you consider a win in activism?
I consider a win every day that you are on a protest camp and you're stopping the destruction of the environment. I consider a win every single day you have a community centre squat open or a legal community space open, because people meet, people interact, people network, people share skills, people inspire each other. People of all ages, races and cultures share cups of tea and ideas, and they change each other. And I think that comes a bit from, there was something Kate Evans, Cartoon Kate, there's a lot of cartoons for The Guardian, she did a lot, came from all the early road protest. And she said, she did some cartoon about, they say you lost so many times on the road protest. You were evicted from here, you're evicted from the M11, you're evicted from Twyford, you're evicted from Salisbury Hill, you're evicted from Fairmar. You lost, you were evicted. But she said, no, we won every single day when we lived in nature and stopped those destruction. And we won every day when we lived in community. We won every day when we were there with our solar panels and our windmills and our vegan diet and our, you know, living the dream of living what we wanted to do to help the environment. And so you got to count everyday small victories as well as the big wins. I mean, the big win on the road protest was, well, we couldn't tell this when we were in it, but by setting up 50 different road protest camps over 8 years or whatever, from 92 to 98, 2000, whatever, eventually the government got ground down by the number of us that got arrested and the resistance and the amount of cost on security. And the bottom line is, all these companies hate it when you charge cost loads of money for security and bad PR and whatever it was. The government eventually in 98 cut the program from 26 billion down to 8 billion. So in fact, 2/3 of all those beautiful forests and sites of scientific interest and ancient mounds and beautiful places, quite often they were putting these roads through, were saved because so many of us got arrested and took action and won every day by being on those camps. And it changed us as people. More people got into permaculture and living in nature and living in community and setting up co-ops and talking about the futures they wanted and creating those futures. So a win is every single day when you take action. When you make a cup of tea for that granny at the community centre who's lonely, that's a win. When you go and give out some leaflets, that's a win. When, you know, and some people would say wins have to be bigger things, but there are wins on the small scale. We won against genetic engineering back in 98. I think that eventually there will be a big win for the anti-fracking movement, because unlike America, where they've pillaged their environment, hundreds of wells polluting air and water, the fracking industry in this country has been banned in, you know, France, Germany, Wales, Ireland and England still pushing it. I think we will eventually win, but it's a win every day when you go up and have a cup of tea with the nanas and take action and go to wherever they're destroying the environment. So there's wins every day on a small scale and wins every day, you know, they're built up over the years and eventually becomes a major victory because you've changed policy, you've changed the world, you've stopped that destruction. Keep taking action every day. We are winning and we are everywhere.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to hear more from Lush and our ever-growing archive, which contains interviews, debates and stories with a wide range of charities, organisations and individuals, please download the free Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple. If you'd like to know more about Phoenix and his work, you can go to spacegenerators.org and solutionzonetv.wordpress.com.